Now, recently, the Environmental Protection Agency found that approximately 50% of household organic waste was being disposed in the wrong bins. In an effort to tackle this, National Food Waste Recycling Week runs from Monday until the 6th of June. It's a new national campaign from mywaste.ie. And the national coordinator of the campaign of mywaste.ie is Pauline McDonagh. Good morning, Pauline.
Good morning, Ken.
Now, Food Waste Week, what's happening from Monday? What are you urging people to do, or not to do, rather?
Absolutely. Well, Clem, first of all, an awful lot of people are doing the right thing and separating their food waste into their third bin. So most of us, if we live in a town or a larger area, a larger population, we have three bins at the back of our house. And most people are doing it right. But like anything to do with waste, there's always room for improvement and there's always room for us to learn a little bit more.
Well, the EPA has done a recent survey, Pauline, and 50% of household organic waste, and we're talking primarily about food, are we not, is being disposed of in the wrong bins.
Well, that's correct. But what we're going to do next week and throughout the period of the next 2 years after that is to help people to do it right. And the reason why sometimes people put things in the wrong bin, it's not being done on purpose. It's just because they didn't understand what was being asked of them. And one of the main reasons that we see people making the wrong choice of bin when they're disposing of their waste is because the food is still in their packaging. So starting next week, what we're trying to do is engage and raise awareness about food waste separation and help people to learn the tips and tricks to do it correctly.
Tell me about this. People are being encouraged to check locally for information on, there's many events going to be happening nationwide. 15,000 food waste caddies are going to be provided.
Yes, that's right. So actually, this is the start of, as we said, a two-year campaign. So next week is only a taster, really, for what's to come. So over a period of about a year or so, we've been working on a pilot project to understand the barriers and to work out what tools people need to do it right. And the tools are very simple. It's a little kitchen caddy, which is like a small bin that you can have on your kitchen worktop, on your sink. We're also giving people a roll of liners, compostable liners that they can use to keep the caddy clean, and there's an information leaflet. So in Kildare, obviously Kildare County Council are part of this campaign, so people can get in touch with the environment section there and see how they can access the caddy pack. And then obviously, as I say, this is just 1 week of a two-year campaign, so these caddy packs will be made available over the two-year period.
All right. Now, there's two aspects to this, and we always say, you know, when we talk about education, we say education begins as soon as you're born. In regards to food waste and the 160,000 tonnes of food waste that is recycled in Ireland every year, with a potential to increase this to 500,000 tonnes. Unfortunately, much of the problem begins when we walk into our shops and supermarkets and we buy stuff, often three for the price of two, two for the price of one, that ultimately we might not need in the first place. And that is one of the components that causes a serious amount of food waste, does it not?
Oh, absolutely, Clem. And, you know, when you start to separate your food waste at home, you start to see the things that you're continuously over-purchasing. And preventing food waste is the best environmental solution. That's where we want people to be. And as you say, we make bad choices because maybe we didn't have a shopping list, we didn't check the fridge, we didn't check the bread bin and see how much bread we had. You know, and we do get tempted when we go into the shop. It all looks super and we want to have it all. And there, again, we urge people to go on the stopfoodwaste.ie website. There's lots of advice there around how to shop, how to cook, how to mind the food, because food has a huge environmental footprint. You know, think of all the energy, the labour, the transportation, the people that grow these crops and make these foods for us. They're a huge part of our society and our economy. And then when we waste that food, it's just a terrible shame for both the environment and for us as well.
Yeah, because it has, for example, it has a big impact on the climate in terms of gas that it's giving off, but it's also filling up landfills. Now, in terms, to just remind people again of what can go into this caddy or can go into, I mean, for example, in my house, we have, luckily, we have three little kitchen bins that come with the kitchen, with the kitchen. And one of them is for pure, just general waste. The middle one is for food waste. And the third one is for recycling. And then we go out to the blue bin and the brown bin and the green bin. And we place them accordingly. Now, the products that should be placed in the caddy, often people don't realise what they can put in. Aside from raw and cooked meat or fish, you can also put in things like eggshells, tea bags, so forth.
Yes, you can. So anything that's food related, so any scraps of food as well, your plate scrapings, leftover food that you're not using. But as you said, coffee grounds, tea bags, you know, all your fruit and vegetables, salad, etc., all of those things, eggshells, they can all go in, as well as kitchen roll and small amounts of things like, you know, a piece of cardboard. But we don't really want people to place any packaging in here, any plastic packaging. Yeah. And this is what we're seeing when we go and root through people's bins, which we do. This is where we get the information from.
God, you have a great life rooting through people's
absolutely
bins.
Absolutely. Well, it's all done in a controlled scientific way.
Oh, I see. Okay.
A waste characterisation, but it is effectively rooting through a bin.
I had images of you sort of bent over halfway into a bin and your legs flying around in the air and stuff like that, Pauline.
It was that much fun, Clem. But what we see is that, you know, people just don't understand that the packaging needs to be separated. This is the most important thing. So say, for example, if you have something like a tub of coleslaw that you bought from a deli and it got pushed to the back of the fridge and gone off and you're not going to use it. People look at that and they open the tub and they kind of go, oh, I don't know what I can do. And then they put tub and all into either the waste, the general waste, as you said, or sometimes, unfortunately, into the food waste bin.
Yeah.
But an easier way to do with that is get a spatula. We all have a spatula in our kitchen. Scrape the food waste out with the spatula into the food bin. And then clean out the tub and put that in for recycling.
Absolutely.
And then you get your recycling clean and you have a great feedstock for anaerobic digestion or compost.
You said you can put bits of cardboard in, and can't you put tissue in as well into the food bin?
Absolutely. And you should put like your kitchen roll. Now obviously tissues that we use to, you know, blow our nose should not go into the compost part of our food waste, our food waste bin. They should go in the general bin.
But the general kitchen tissue that we use, most people don't realise that can go into the food waste of the bin. And we need to remind people, Pauline, that every tonne of food waste recycled, if it, instead of ending up in a landfill, it prevents about half a tonne of carbon dioxide, that terrible gas, entering the atmosphere. So, we're saving on landfill, we're helping climate, we're helping diversity, we're just basically helping everything. So, everybody, please note that. And if you want to find out more, it's all happening from next week. Just to raise people's awareness, National Food Waste Recycling Week, running from the 30th of May, from Monday, until the 6th of June, everyone has been encouraged to recycle food waste in particular, because that's often just dumped into the general waste. And you'll get advice and hints about what you need to do on the website mywaste.ie. Coordinator of all of that, of mywaste.ie, Pauline McDonough. Good talking to you, Pauline.
Thank you, Clem. That was great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We'll let you back now to rooting in bins again, okay?
Thank you.
Have a good weekend, Pauline. Thank you. It's very, very important. And we'd urge everybody. Yeah. Most people might know that, you know, the kitchen roll, the tissue and stuff, you can throw that into the food element. So get about it, folks.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare KFM.
Now, regarding the composting and all of that that we were chatting about, Paul Spratt of Med Building Services Limited here in the M7 Business Park, just on the road from us here, has raised a point. He says, is there an issue with tea bags and the breakdown of the bag if you put it in the food composting? Now, Paul, I only saw your email now when it came in, but I've had a shot at it on a line to just see what the story is. And the information I'm getting back is that the common tea bags used by many of us every day are still mostly made of paper. But as many gardeners will say, they leave behind them a fine grey web of microplastics in the soil when composted. So, yeah, maybe the information is mixed on that. Most of the tea bags we use are suitable to drop them. I know I drop most of mine in the food bin anyway, but there is an issue with microplastics in some of them. The other very useful thing, by the way, for tea bags is you can stick them in the fridge. Not to reuse them again now, as you're all saying out there. Come on, Clem. Reusing the tea bags, are we? In regards to that, no. They're great, by the way, for absorbing smells. If you have a very strong smell in your fridge, put in used tea bags before you throw them in the composting bin, and they absorb the smell. So I believe anyway, I do it all the time. Also today, Guide Dog Day. Today, Friday, and they're fundraising at Dunn Stores in Newbridge and Super Value in Monastereven. The continued support of Kildare people would be appreciated for that great cause. Owen.
Yeah, a couple of WhatsApp messages as well, Clem. We were talking about the bins. Patricia says it would help if the brown organic bin was bigger. The bin is too small, especially when you use it for the garden as well, because obviously you can use it for, you know, grass cuttings or hedge trimmings or whatever the case is as well. Mick O'Brien was in touch. The Druids heading off for their second US tour this year, taking in New York, Buffalo, Detroit, Toledo and Cleveland, also New Jersey, Philadelphia and New England. They send their thanks as well to KFM, the Irish music scene, as well as KFM listeners for playing their new album. It's been a great help after the COVID lockdown. That comes in from Mick, Gary, Zach, Dennis and Neil.
Sure, I heard you got a standing ovation somewhere for your support of Irish music, by God.
That was when the Druids were playing in the Moat, yeah. But their album is brilliant. Just grateful to be there, it's called. And tonight we're going to be playing the song off the album as well.
Are you? I played the last one that they recorded, I think, in Detroit on Ciolagus Kind and that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's coming up tonight on the Irish music scene.
Irish music scene with Owen Beattie tonight from 7 o'clock on. And I have to say, you're getting great traction online for that programme with all those artists so appreciative of getting exposure on the radio. KFM, of course, supporting Irish music, not just traditional, but Irish music of all sorts.
Yeah, if we go back to local issues then, and there have been calls for water tankers to be deployed in Kilteel after the local water supply used by a group of residents was contaminated with arsenic. It's been reported that as many as 60 families have been affected, and while they can use the water for washing and in toilets, it cannot be consumed as it's highly toxic. That was a report in the Sunday World a few months ago, back in February, and I believe this issue is still ongoing. And on the line now is Fine Gael councillor on the Naas Municipal District, Fintan Brett. Fintan, good morning.
Good morning.
You brought a motion forward, as I understand it, to a recent Naas MD meeting about this issue in Kilteel. It's been going on now for a number of months. What's the latest?
Well, as you say, Owen, this has gone on. It's actually literally 6 months to the day since the first report on this came out on the 30th of November that there was a problem, and the second test confirmed it. And on the 6th of January, I do not consume. A notice was issued to the 64 odd families affected by this. So since then, I suppose there's been a three-pronged approach, I'd say, to it. First and foremost, the local group scheme involved the group, the Irish Federation of Group Water Schemes, and they were had asked the Geological Survey of Ireland to get involved. They were hoping they would, but unfortunately, after a month or two, they came back and said they just didn't have the manpower and couldn't do it. So since then, the local scheme have, number one, they have looked for quotations from private hydrologists to conduct a survey. Number two, they've sought quotations for filtration systems. And number three, in conjunction with their county council, they've applied for a connection to Irish Water to get literally the water from the mains, supply on that. So where we're at the moment, I think everything is going to be predicated by how the hydrologist report comes in. They'll come in, they'll do a test, and they'll say, I believe that they're very accurate in saying that the supply could be got close or where it can be got, and that will then lead to what cost will be involved in getting that supply tied into the existing supply or replacing the existing supply, which probably will have to be done. The where it goes, you could have cost anything from 100,000 to 300,000 or 400,000, again depending on where, what that hydrologist says. If he says that it's not possible, or if the water is contaminated, the second approach was filtration. They have got quotations on that, and it's extremely expensive and very expensive to maintain. So I don't see that as being a player in this. And the third, which I believe, and a lot of people believe, is the ultimate answer, is a connection to the mains via Irish Water. The council on the 4th of May put in an application for that, and are waiting a report back. But as you can imagine, a lot of this, 8 kilometres of this water mains in that area are through private lands. That will all have to be brought onto the public roads and that. And you're talking millions for this, and possibly 3 years. So the locals up there have a serious problem. And as I speak to you only this week, the group water scheme up there are seeking quotations for bottled water supply. Such is the problem in trying to get tankers, and I suppose it's a reflection of this country that people with water tankers will not put them out supplying water for the fear of claims against them, and that it's sad in a way that it has come to this. But the bottom line, they're seeking quotations for bottled water to in the short term.
Okay,
this is ongoing on, and you know, there could be a problem here for up to 3 years.
Okay, Fintan, just hang on the line there for me for a moment, because yesterday in the Dáil, Fianna Fáil TD, James Lawless brought this up, and he was addressing the Minister, Dara O'Brien, who wasn't actually in Dáil Éireann, but responding on his behalf was Fianna Fáil TD Thomas Byrne. So just listen to this, Fintan, first of all. This was in the Dáil yesterday.
In the interest of public health, Kildare County Council, as a supervisory authority under the Drinking Water Regulations for Private Water Supplies, issued a Do Not Consume notice to the Teal Group Water Scheme earlier this year. The notice prohibits the use of the water supply for either drinking purposes or for the preparation of food. As this is a private supply, primary responsibility for its resolution rests with the management of the supply. The Department's multi-annual rural water programme provides capital funding under a number of measures, including for group water schemes, to enable the resolution of infrastructural deficiencies, and in particular those that are causing or risk causing water quality issues. The Council has informed my department that it continues to work with the management of the supply to help it in addressing its water quality issue. Given the public health concerns, the department has asked the Council to examine and report back on the most appropriate approaches for resolving the issues with the supply by looking at the solutions in the short, medium and longer term. In the short term, the Council is examining the options for the supply, providing a temporary water supply for the area using a tanker. As a medium-term solution, the Department has asked the Council to examine the feasibility of providing a supply using an alternative groundwater source. The Council, after obtaining expert advice, will provide the Department with an initial assessment on the feasibility of doing this in the coming weeks. Of course, the more sustainable long-term solution for the supply appears to be interconnection to the public network and taking in charge. To progress this, the Council, on behalf of the private supply, submitted a connection application to Irish Water on the 4th of May last. Given the public health concerns with the supply, the Department has, and indeed following your own representations, the Department has separately requested Irish Water to prioritise the request. The Department will continue to engage with the Council on the matter of this supply, and the Council will be providing the Department with regular updates on progress.
Yeah, that's Fianna Fáil TD Thomas Byrne responding on behalf of Minister Dara O'Brien in response to a question put forward by Fianna Fáil TD James Lawless. Fintan, just finally then, your response to that, and again, 6 months down the line here, I'm sure there's a lot of frustration and anger up around Kilteal. And what is the current situation now? What are they doing for water?
Well, look, just on that, I suppose in a different way, the minister there said exactly what, more or less what I have said on that. All the dates and the information is much the same. And in fact, there's a letter in circulation from Deputy Durkin where he had a PQ question down, and it's literally the same word for word answer. So it's the same answer has gone out to both deputies from it. Look, at the moment, I did a lot of work trying to get a tanker up there, and I found a lot of obstacles in the way. There's so much red tape involved. Insofar, if you supply a tanker up there, you get people that collect the water from the tanker are then advised to go home and boil that water before they use it. At the moment, the people up in the area are getting the water from neighbours and friends and all that there and using it. They don't boil that. They use it as it is and that. And if you're going to put a tanker and tell people to go home the water and boil it, it's not going to happen, in my opinion, anyway. That won't happen. So at the moment, there is a couple of quotations coming in for bottled water. They're trying to get bulk bottled water in and see how what the cost is. But of course, if that's going to be... if that's going to be a long term, there will be big costs involved in it. And as Thomas Byrne said there in his reply, and as I said, the ultimate answer in this is a connection to Irish Water. But as I said, it's 8 miles. There isn't even a design done on it and yet. So you're talking on 3 years and that there.
Okay.
A lot, though, is, and I said this also earlier there, the hydrologist's report will be critical. If he can find, and from what I gather, these guys are very accurate. If he says there's a good supply here, there's an aquifer here that's not contaminated, then there may be a chink of light at the end of the tunnel for us all.
Okay, concern as water supply used by a group of residents in Kilteel is contaminated with arsenic. We'll keep on top of the issue as well. And Fine Gael councillor on the NACE MD, Fintan Brett. Many thanks, Fintan.
Good morning, Owen.
Thanks indeed, Owen. That's quite a serious situation. Just before we go to the break, Owen, you might have a couple of messages there, I think, and one in relation to the tea bags, even. But before you do that, Her Royal Highness Princess Kira has joined me in studio because we've an issue with a racing pigeon.
Yeah, I've been talking to a resident over in Selbridge, Clem, and she has a racing pigeon currently in her back garden. She's 78 years old, and she actually has two cats herself. So the racing pigeon, I guess, landed in the garden over the past few days. She is looking for help because she really wants to make sure the pigeon is okay and gets the care it's needed. So if anybody out there is listening, know where possibly she could go, who to call,
right,
do get in touch with us here at 045-898-999.
How does she know it's a racing pigeon as distinct from just an ordinary pigeon who, you know, that we all have in our back gardens, except in your estate, of course?
Around
your mansion, you wouldn't have any pigeons because you'd be out with a double barrel, you know, saying, go away from me. Is the woman convinced it's a racing pigeon? Racing pigeons normally carry a tag on one of the legs.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
okay.
She defined it as a racing pigeon. I didn't ask her too many details there, Clem.
Right,
so
okay.
I can't say exactly why, but I know there's that little tag on
one racing
of their legs.
Pigeons.
Is it a leg? What's it called?
If that woman might ring back and speak to Kit, it's their leg.
Leg.
The pigeon's leg, yeah. A stalk, for God's sake. You know a lot about pigeons, all right. If that woman rings back again and just to verify if the pigeon has a little tag on its stalk, as Kira calls it, its leg. Thanks very much for that. Now, Owen, a couple of those messages in regards to tea bags. One listener has a very interesting question regarding where the tea bags might work or not work.
Yeah, would the tea bags work in the toilet is a question here. Not entirely sure. There's another one here then that came in as well saying that used tea bags left in the fridge are also very effective for tired and puffy eyes. Thanks for your company as always, says Catherine in Leixlip. Yeah. I agree with that because I know with hay fever that works for me, and I would put tea bags on my eyes and it would get the itchiness out of them. If
right.
You put the tea bags in the fridge, rinse them out with water, put them on your eyes, works a treat.
You look so good.
And you, Kira, do you do that too?
I don't need to.
Oh, I see. Right, you're beautiful anyway. Right, okay. But as regards putting tea bags in the toilet to see if they'll absorb the smells, no. They definitely absorb the smells in fridges. And now Owen has given us a medicinal issue that
Because caffeine, it's around, it depuffs.
Is it? Right.
Yeah,
courtesy
so it's been
of
a lot of
our listener as well in terms of that. Oh, yeah. Tell the woman to get a grip rooting in bins only in Ireland. She's not rooting in the bin. I was only saying that as a joke. She's not bent over head first into the bin with her feet in the air. It's done electronically and stuff like that. Okay. Keep your messages coming. We'll have the CSO next and then we'll have a look at the weekend's Leinster final.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Right. Kevin Duggan in the Curragh. Well, good one, Kevin. Kevin says, how does she know the pigeon is 78 years old? It's the woman is 78 years old, the pigeon is not, and Kira, our racing pigeon expert, has just been in to tell me she's checked the stalk on the pigeon, his leg in other words, and he's got two rings, so definitely it's a racing pigeon. If anyone knows what that woman should do about that pigeon that's landed in her back garden and obviously thinks it's home from his holiday in Spain or wherever else it was racing from. Now, let's have a look at the CSO Labour Survey figures on, which have just been released, and we'll go to the summary of the contents in regard to that, which deals with it in that particular chapter on employment, unemployment and the labour force as such, because we need to move on to the sport. In terms of unemployment, Owen, it says there were 2,505,800 persons aged between 15 and 89 in employment in quarter one 2022.
Yeah, this represents an increase of 275,200 over the year from quarter one 2021. The employment rate for persons aged 15 to 64 years was up from 65.6% to 72.8% over the year to quarter one 2022. Of those who were in employment in this time frame, an estimated 168,000 were absent from work during the reference week, which is temporarily absent from work for reasons such as holidays, sick leave or maternity leave, and this compares to 309,500 who were absent from work during the reference week in the same period last year. Overall employment was up compared to quarter one 2021, while the number of absences from work during the reference week decreased. This resulted in the number of employed persons who were at work during the reference week increasing by 21%.
Okay.
And the estimated total number of hours worked per week in quarter one 2022 is 80.8 million hours, up by 12.1 million hours or 17.6% on the same period last year.
All right, two and a half million plus people aged between 15 and 89 employed in quarter one 2022. How many were unemployed on?
Yeah, 126,700 unemployed persons. That's the age between 15 and 74. That was an associated unemployment rate then as well for those aged 15 to 74 of 4.8%, down from 7.1% in the same period last year. The unemployment rate aged between those 15 to 27 or 24 was 7.5% in quarter one 2022. That's down 15.6% in 2021. Obviously that would have been, that period would have been probably during a lockdown. A lot of people would have been maybe unemployed or laid off during that period last year.
And in regards to the labour force, Owen, the point number three there is the relevant one, the number of persons outside the labour force.
Yeah, according to ILO criteria, that was 1.4 million people outside of the labour force.
All right, then if we look at the number of people employed in quarter one 2020, 2,300,000. I'm back at the infographic, 2,347,200. A year later, it was 2,230,600, so down about 17,000. And the figure we've just given you, back up again from 2,230,000 last year, it's now 2,505,800. So nearly 300,000 people more at work in 2021 than there were in the previous year. The number employed but absent from work then, Owen, in those three quarters?
Yeah, so quarter one 2020, 208,400. Quarter one 2021, 309,500, and then quarter one 2022, 168,100. So that's obviously decreasing.
Employed but absent from work, that's a huge number of people, 168,000 who are absent from work. I know it's in an overall population of 2.5 million. And finally, Owen, the percentage numbers then of that is 6.7% of the workforce in quarter one 2022 were employed but absent from work.
Yeah. But then if you look back at 2021 and 2020, it is a decrease. So it was higher in 2021 and 2020.
But that would have been during COVID. As you said yourself, lockdowns and COVID-19.
Yeah.
You know, it was 13.9% in 2021. So those are the latest findings from the CSO. Right. Thanks, Owen. Well done on that. Let's move to a quick look at the sport. Just to remind you now that we have a special extended weekend sports preview programme this evening, which will begin around 6.15. And during that programme, we'll be going live to Joe Mallon Motors Renault on the Salins Road in Nace, when we'll be broadcasting live the draw for this year's Senior, Intermediate and Junior Football Championships. So don't forget, that draw will happen around 6.30. But the preview programme this evening, featuring analysis, interviews, everything of tomorrow's Leinster final, the women football, the Camogie teams who are in action this weekend, soccer, Maynooth are in the Charlie Cahill Cup final tonight, all of that, Leinster of course, the Champions Cup rugby final, will all be previewed this evening from about 6.15 on. But Dublin are bidding for their 12th successive Leinster title, their 17th in 18 seasons tomorrow evening in Croke Park. Kildare seeking their first title since the year 2000. Obviously, Dublin have won all the last five championship meetings between the sides. Top scorer for Kildare's Jimmy Hyland with 1-9. Derek Kirwan has 1-8. Ben McCormack, who's in cracking form, has 9 points. Top scorers for Dublin, Dean Rock has 1-13. Conor Callaghan has 1-8. Kieran Kilkenny has 6 points. It's the 54th championship meeting between the counties. Dublin have won 35 to Kildare's 13, while 5 have been drawn. And one other interesting statistic from tomorrow evening's match. The managers, Glenn Ryan and Desi Farrell. Glenn Ryan played in 5 Leinster finals against Dublin in 1992, 93, 2000, where there was a draw and a replay, and 2002. He won 1, lost 3, and drew 1. Dublin manager Desi Farrell played in 3 Leinster finals against Kildare in 2000 twice and 2002, with a win and a loss in those games and 1 draw. And even more interestingly, when Dublin and Kildare met in the Leinster final of 2000, who were the captains? Glenn Ryan for Kildare, Desi Farrell for Dublin. Dublin have beaten Kildare by an average of 11.3 points in their last 5 championship meetings. Kildare beat Dublin by 3 points in this year's Allianz League clash in Newbridge. And I put it to you, Tommy Callaghan, that when that match was last played, Dublin were without the likes of players Cormac Costello, Con Callaghan, and indeed James McCarthy, who are all expected to field tomorrow evening. And that will make a big, big difference, I imagine, to the prospects. Dublin on the up, particularly after that semi-final win over Meath.
Indeed, of course, Clement, that's a very valid point. No doubt in the world about that. But having said that, that was a very, very poor performance by Meath. I looked upon as probably one of the worst performances in recent times. And so, I mean, I think while there is a question mark about Kildare, there still remains a question mark about Dublin as well, whether Dublin are up to the level they were at previously, or are they getting back to that level now, or did they make a very poor Meath team look very, very poor? As Owen Dyle pointed out to me in this week's Leinster Leader, when Dublin are playing particularly well, they can make any team look poor. But there's a question mark over both teams, and I think there's as much of a question mark over Dublin as there is about Kildare.
Are we likely then to see the 6 that were named for action last time out? Alex Byrne, Ben McCormack, Paul Cribben in the half forward line, Derek Kirwan, Daniel Flynn, and Jimmy Hyland in the full forward line.
As you know, Clem, we don't get the team until probably Friday. I would expect probably the same 6. Having said that, I wouldn't be surprised if there was at least one change. I expect the midfield to be the same.
Kevin Feely and Kevin O'Callaghan.
Yeah, it looks that way, yeah. And I'd say that to be one change in the full back line where fit again Ryan Houlihan will definitely be back in a cornerback. This management team are inclined not to make too many changes to a team, especially a team that wins. They're inclined to keep the same 15. You look at the last day, it was the same team bar the one change, and that was due to injury. And if you go back through the league, that happened a lot. They kept the same team more or less and then introduced other lads as the game went on. So I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Houlihan is the only change on it, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if there's one other change as well.
When I look at the Dublin team that played Meath, Tommy, but if you look at the full back line of Merchant, Fitzsimons and Lee Gannon, out in the halfbacks, John Small, Johnny Cooper at centre-back, Daniel Flynn might relish that again, James McCarthy, whether James is on the wing or goes into the centre, Fenton and Lahiff in the middle of the field, Sean Bugler, Brian Howard, Kieran Kilkenny in the half-forward line, and what a half-forward line that's proving to be, with Cormac Costello, Conor Callaghan and Dean Rock being scoringly prolific in a full forward line. Even on reputation and experience alone, that is a very impressive outfit.
It is, of course, absolutely. But, I mean, there's lads there too that wouldn't be as well known as others. There are new lads on the team, like Gannon, like Lahiff. You know, these lads, Bogler, he played well against Clare and Newbies, he played very well against, you wouldn't call him a new player either.
No.
I mean, the experience of Costello, Callaghan and Rock, doesn't need James McCarthy, as you say yourself. Johnny Cooper, who didn't start in the semi-final, don't forget, he only came on in the 58th minute.
Right.
He only came on for Merchant.
Their pride has to be badly dented about what happened in the league, relegated along with Kildare. They'll have a point to prove. Decisive win last year in the Leinster final, 21 points to 1-9 on that occasion, and they have to be red hot favourites, do they not?
Well, they are red hot favourites. There's no doubt about it. You come back Kildare 5-1 to win this match, and I think the handicap is 7 or 8 points. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say players are too interested in them kind of stats, and they shouldn't be, put it that way. Everything points to Dublin winning, but I still think there's a question mark over Dublin, as there is about Kildare, and I think Kildare have a better chance this time around than they've had in recent times, primarily because of the forward, the penetration they have in the forward line. I mean, Darren Kerwin, Daniel Flynn, Jimmy Hyland. I mean, Daniel Flynn, for instance, he scored 2 points against Westmead, one was a mark. But he was hugely influential throughout that match.
That's Tommy Callaghan there, and indeed there's more to that interview with Tommy, which we'll play during our preview programme this evening, looking ahead to that game. But also the Kildare management have decided that they're not putting anyone forward for interview. We in KFM, and I know I'm speaking on behalf of Tommy in the Leinster Leader, because he makes the point in this interview tonight. Tommy got an interview with Owen Doyle, but that was through Tommy's own initiative. Pat Costello got an interview has a very good interview in this week's Kildare Nationalist with Johnny Doyle, but again that was by a direct request. But all requests by either radio or the newspapers for a representative from the Kildare management team or a player to provide pre-match interviews were declined. The feedback we got is that there would be no interviews of any sort. In the words of one attributed to one person within the management setup, we let our talking be done on the field. We learn our lessons from the past. Very disappointing, because whether it's the Leader, whether it's the Nationalist, whether it's KFM, 52 weeks of the year we promote GAA, and it would have been nice to be able to bring some interviews and some of the scenes to you. But we'll do that anyway, because we have Glenn Ryan's interview, who always makes himself available after games from the win the last time out against Westmead. All of that and much more will come to you this evening, when also we'll hear from the ladies' manager, Sean Finnegan, because they begin their All-Ireland series against Longford tomorrow.
It's great to win matches. I love winning matches, but those girls, they deserve it. It was a battle, but they fought today tooth and nail, and I'm just so happy for them. We expected a battle. You saw Wexford trooping off that pitch in the end. They were devastated to lose that. They came here fully expecting to win, no more than ourselves. And unfortunately, only one team can win, but I'm glad it was us that came out in the right end.
And that's after they won the Leinster final against Wexford. All that's all in action tomorrow is the Camogie team, beaten in the Leinster final, but beginning their All-Ireland series in Nolan Park in Kilkenny tomorrow. The manager is Joe Quaid.
Meath will be major contenders for the Intermediate Championship this year. Meath will be playing senior Leinster next year, and we were a puck of a ball away from beating them. So going from, I suppose, where we started off, it's massive, massive progress. And it will, if you keep doing the right things all the time, you'll eventually get the rewards. And do you know what? We ain't far off it.